and welcome to Law Library Insights. My name is Kayla Fertig, and I'm a reference librarian at the Cleveland Law Library. Today we are going to look at presidential libraries, their history, who finances the facility and manages the content, and where they might be going. It's hard to believe, but document preservation wasn't always the norm. For the first 150 years of the United States, presidents treated their official documents as their personal property. When their term ended, presidents took their records with them, leaving the historical narrative vulnerable to private sale, selective destruction, or permanent loss. You can find some of these early presidential papers in the Library of Congress, while others are split amongst universities, libraries, historical societies, and private collections. It wasn't until 1938 that President Franklin Roosevelt donated his papers, books, and memorabilia to the federal government. Roosevelt raised the money to build a library and museum at his estate in Hyde Park, New York. The National Archive and Record Administration, or NARA, oversaw the project. This facility became the first presidential library and remains the only one used by a president while in office. Roosevelt designed the building himself in the Dutch colonial style. The library study served as the setting for several of the president's fireside chats and remains arranged exactly as it was during his third and fourth terms. At the time, there was no law establishing how future presidential libraries should be built or maintained. In 1950, President Harry Truman decided that he too wanted a library. So Congress created a formal policy and passed the Presidential Libraries Act in 1955. This established a system of libraries that were privately built and funded, but federally maintained. Under this framework, President Truman's library in Independence, Missouri, opened in 1957. This was followed by President Hoover's library in West Branch, Iowa, and President Eisenhower's library in Abilene, Kansas, both opened in 1962. Construction timelines varied over the next few decades, and facilities didn't always open in the order that the president served. For instance, Lyndon B. Johnson's library opened in Texas in 1971, while John F. Kennedy's library and museum in Boston faced multiple delays and didn't open until 1979. Meanwhile, Richard Nixon's library in California opened in 1990 and operated privately for 27 years due to legal fallout from Watergate. It joined the federal system in 2007. The Presidential Library Network grew steadily with the additions of Gerald R. Ford's Presidential Library and Museum in 1981 in Ann Arbor, Michigan, the Jimmy Carter Library and Museum in 1986 in Atlanta, and the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in 1991 in Simi Valley, California. The expansion continued with George H.W. Bush's Presidential Library and Museum in 1997 in College Station, Texas, the William J. Clinton Presidential Center and Park in 2004 in Little Rock, Arkansas, and George W. Bush Presidential Library and Museum in 2013 in Dallas. The management and funding of these institutions are divided by federal policy. While NARA operates, staffs, and secures the archives, it does not fund the construction of the library, museum, or other facilities. Former presidents must form nonprofit foundations to raise the capital required for land acquisition and construction. Under amendments to the Presidential Libraries Act, foundations must also provide a private financial endowment to NARA to offset facility operating and maintenance costs. The newest and most unique presidential library opens later this month in Chicago. The Barack Obama Presidential Center opens to the public on June 19, 2026. This library breaks from precedent by choosing not to house a physical paper archive. Instead, the original paper documents are kept in NARA storage facilities and documents are digitized, allowing scholars to research the administration remotely. By converting the traditional research rooms into digital space, the Obama Center marks a structural shift away from the classic archival repository. The 19-acre campus focuses on functionality and community utility. It offers a variety of recreational areas, green space, community resources, and even houses a branch of the Chicago Public Library. Ultimately, this change in design redefines how a president's legacy can be preserved and appreciated. By digitizing the records and utilizing the physical site for public use, the facility functions as a community center rather than a traditional research facility. Thank you for listening to Law Library Insights. Remember to stay informed, lead with kindness, and support your local library. You can check out the Cleveland Law Library on the fourth floor of the old courthouse. We are open to the public every Wednesday, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. We hope to see you soon.